Morning, Scott. Thank you for agreeing to talk to our listeners at the Mardler Talking newspaper. Perhaps you'll tell us something about this wonderful building.
Sure. I'm the manager of Langham Dome. We're a registered charity. Langham Dome, the building, is now 82 years old. It was probably designed and built to last about 15 to 20 years. We're quite fortunate to still have it here. 15 years ago, it was a black dome covered in bitumen. Bernard Matthews owned the land, owned the airfield it sits on. He thought he was doing a preservation job by putting black bitumen on, but it actually was the wrong thing because it sealed in all the moisture. So when the Charitable Trust, who are all locals, have all done a fantastic job, decided to save this building and started doing research and raising money for it 20 years ago, one of the first things they had to do was remove the bitumen. They got advice from English Heritage on the proper breathable material that could go on the building, allowing the moisture to leave again. We run dehumidifiers to take all that moisture out because the metal structure around inside was corroding and we needed to save it. And that was one of the things that we did. 10 years ago this year, the Charitable Trust had raised enough money to open the dome as a museum and keep telling the story of the service men and women that were here 80 years ago, and to save a very precious building. We are the only training dome, which I'll tell you more about in a second, that has survived that period and being preserved. There are five others still standing, but they are not being preserved and they're just falling down and rotting. The domes were an innovation by a naval officer who was worried about his ships being attacked by aircraft. He'd gone through the First World War and suffered the torpedoes and submarine attacks, but he was more worried about aircraft, as it was proven during the Second World War, many ships were sunk by aircraft. So he was looking at a way to train the gunners to protect the aircraft more. And he watched a movie in 1937, the Spanish Civil War, of the Germans attacking Spanish civilians using Stuka dive bombers, and that had all been filmed on Pathé News, and he'd seen it at cinema, these Stuka dive bombers on this big screen attacking civilians, and he wondered how he could use that horrendous sight as a training method for gunners. And he worked out that a dome shape was the perfect shape for Skye, and he rejoined the Navy. He had retired. He rejoined the Navy and he got approval from the Admiralty to develop something. And they built a dome in Hyde Park. And they worked with Kodak and Technicolor to create a movie that was hand-drawn of all the different aircraft. And they could simulate different types of attack. They could draw it in 3D. Where all the training had been very much left to right, linear. You couldn't have that, the full immersive experience of being attacked. And they designed a projector that would go into the middle of the dome and could be adjusted by mirrors. And the trainees would fire a light at the film. And the instructors could see how naturally their aptitude for picking out the targets and showing the instructors that they'd learned what they'd been taught in the classroom for 10 weeks about height, speed, different types of aircraft attacks and so on. And they would go through a 10-week course of classroom gunnery training. And maybe that was so strict that maybe only one in six would go on to live firing. So all that training had been done without using any resources when we were very short of resources. And only the best of the best would actually start using the live weapons at the camps at Stiffkey and Weybon. So we were a bit of a training triangle here at Langham.
And I see that you have headphones that include hard of hearing visitors. How can you include blind and partially sighted listeners?
Well, those headphones help to obviously help people to understand what's being said on the movie, because the acoustics are very strange in the dome. But they're three 10-minute movies, so you've got 30 minutes of history and commentary all through the headphones. So they can be used to give a good idea of what happened here 80 years ago.
I also noticed on the website that the gardens are open to anybody, anytime.
Absolutely. We encourage families especially to come and use it as a picnic site. They don't have to pay entry to the museum, just use the garden, which has loads of information about the airfield, and they can learn more about the history of what happened here in North Norfolk 80 years ago from just reading the boards.
And I noticed there's an aircraft out there. What is that?
That arrived about 5 years ago. We always wanted some form of gate guarding, an extra hook for those cars that are just driving past between Holt and Wells, and for them to say, what's this building? Let's come in and have a look. RAF Hendon, the Imperial War Museum in London, had it pinned up on their wall vertically. They offered it out because they want to replace it with a modern jet on there. Again, one of our trustees who's got the right contacts, he said, yes, please, we'll have it. And we thought that would be a great way to have a gate garden without the expense of building one ourselves. It didn't turn out to be such good value because when we tried to mount it horizontally, it had been vertical, the wings folded, the body wasn't strong enough. So we had to get new wings made from a carbon fibre boat maker down on the Broads. We got the moulds from Duxford and they made us up a new set of wings and strengthened the structure. And again, one of our trustees who did a lot of model aircraft flying managed to mount it on a high pedestal, which in an angle where it doesn't get any lift, so we don't have to worry about it in winds like we're having today. But it actually turns to face the wind, so it's one of the world's biggest wind vanes. You know, it always places towards the where the wind direction is. So when people come past, they see the Spitfire in a different direction most days when they come past.
And are you open every day?
From June, and we're open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 5 days a week, right through to the end of October. We don't open through the winter. Everyone likes to have a go at our working demonstration of the gun simulator. And we've got plenty of puzzles and things around.
Wow, that is so interesting. I'll certainly be bringing my grandchildren when they come up in the summer. Scott, thank you so much for talking to us.